You are listening to Faith Church's sermon from this week. We are a church that is committed to loving Jesus for life and loving others to life. We hope that this message encourages you to follow Jesus with your whole heart.
Our focus verse for this morning is from Hebrews 11, 1-3. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. I'd just like to say good morning, and again, it is an honor and a privilege to be with you. My hope is after this week, you will have an understanding, one, of the enemy's plan, God's answer in knowing that plan in the salvation of Jesus Christ, knowing the battlefield, which we talked about last week, being our heart, mind, and soul, and that we act in the possible, and God will do the impossible. We love and forgive because that is what God has done for us. And in that, we truly have peace in life. We have freedom and find true fulfillment in that purpose in life. We find the true deep faith in the Father, and that we find that true deep faith in the Father, in the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our Christian faith is, and hopefully is, the anchor of your life. Just join me in prayer. Father, we are humbled to be by you, your creation, your unconditional love, your unending patience, grace, and mercy. Be with us now in our heart, mind, and soul so that we can have you enter in and make us a new creation in you. Be with me, that my words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart are yours and for your glory and for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start with a quick review of last week of what we talked about with the full armor of God and being battle ready. We saw where we have a countdown going on. Maybe we have to wait for a countdown. It's all good. I told them, don't worry about the PowerPoint. We're kind of fumbling through things, but it looks like we're right there on the review, so we're doing good. It's all good. We'll get there. That's a little bit of that diversion, right? That Satan's plan, diversion. So with all that said, we talked about Satan's plan being doubt, discouragement, diversion, defeat, delay, and as we're seeing in our world right now, a lot of division and destruction. And the attacks come on the grounds of where Christ put the focus of the great commandment as far as loving God with your heart, mind, and soul, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And we see that the attacks come in the heart and in the mind and in the soul. Jesus, obviously, and the Trinity, we have the Jesus, Spirit, and God, because we have to understand that we are a creation of God and that we have God within us. And from that point, and understanding that we are created in God's image, we understand where this battleground comes from. It is a physical, it is mental, and it is spiritual. So with that, we move on to what was our actions that we had talked about last week. If you look into your bulletin, you will see there's a section on verses as far as your identity in Jesus Christ. These are verses outside of Ephesians. I told you to look at Ephesians 1 and 2, dealing with the verses that they had talked about in the movie The Overcomer. But with that said in there, you'll see in there's some other verses throughout the battle that the Bible that go along with that identity in Christ. And that's a key starting point, understanding your identity in Christ. Because you are blessed, chosen, adopted, redeemed, forgiven, sealed, loved, and saved. What could even be possibly better than all that? So it truly is a matter of faith, which is what we'll be leading into this week. But last week we also talked about being to stand, be strong, be prepared, putting on another action of ourselves, putting on the full armor of God. And we talked about the belt of truth, which turns out to be godly discernment. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness, which is the protection of our heart, going back to that thought of the heart, mind, and soul. Feet fitting with readiness, being prepared, and we're prepared by our fellowship and our interaction and study of the Word. Today, we're going to focus on the shield of faith, or talking about our faith, which is the soul, the helmet of salvation, the mind, and the importance of where we're at in our mental state, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and being in study of that. And then we talked about prayer and our prayer and our communion with God. And I ended with a final statement saying, in faith we face evil, in Jesus Christ we are prepared. So that gave us a little bit of a review of last week, entering into our look at Hebrews 11. I'll start with the introduction. As far as in my introduction here, and to lead into this, is I'm sure you all heard this story already, and it was a story of a man with faith, and he had a strong faith in God. Kind of fitting for this morning, because there was a flood coming, and he heard the warnings. There was a warning put out that you need to be evacuating the area, because they really don't know how strong all this is going to resolve to, but the best move is to get to high ground, get out of your area. His thoughts and his prayer was, God be with me, you will see me to my way, you will lead me to where I need to go, I will wait for you. Soon a raft came by, and the gentleman on the raft said, jump on in, I'm getting to higher ground, I'm getting to safe way. He goes, God will provide a way for me, I'm good. Next, a boat came by. Same conversation went on. He wound up having to go to the roof of his house, waiting for God to act. There's a helicopter came by. You need to evacuate. You've got to go now. And he waited, because he was waiting for this great action of God. Wound up dying in the flood, and as he entered heaven, he came and met the Creator. He met the Lord, and God asked him, well, he asked God, he goes, God, you know, I had unending faith in you that you were going to be there. You were going to come and reach down and grab me and take me to where I needed to be. And he said, son, I gave you a warning. I sent you a raft. I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter. I don't know what else I could have done for you. There's a little bit of humor in that story, but isn't that true with us, of how many times God has sent help and we either fail to recognize it or accept it for what it is? Because it's not necessarily what we expect. It's not the way we see it need to be done. And that is the challenge. That is the challenge of faith. And we rely on the part of things that we don't understand and we don't quite see. But yet, you know, this is how faith acts. So let's dive into our first division of Hebrews. And this is focusing on the first 12 verses. Now, I started off as far as reading the first three verses because I feel it defines what faith is. I will reread that. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen is not made out of what was visible. By faith. If you look at Hebrews, if you have your Bibles with you and you go through chapter 11, because I'm not going to read all of chapter 11. There's so much in there. We don't have the time for that. Each section starts off by faith. By faith. All through the chapter, by faith. And really, isn't that where the rubber meets the road? Belief in the unseen, in the unknown. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed by God. Really, that's where it starts, right? We have to believe that God exists. That's the starting point. And that he's the creator of all things. By faith. Evidence is in us. It's in creation itself. It's in how we heard the term in Disney's movie, the circle of life moves. How everything interacts with each other. We see it in the universe, out in the universe, of how everything in the solar systems and beyond in the galaxies and things we don't even have a fathom of how they work or how they understand. We even have that here on our planet within the oceans. There's depths and places that they don't even know or haven't even gotten to or understand on our own Earth as far as the oceans are concerned. And even to talk about something of the day, our own immune system, and how that truly works. That's our defense against disease, is our immune system. Medicines help. They treat things, they go on things, but truly it's what God had placed inside of us and our immune system and how we defend against those. That's where my trust lies. It's in God's hands. Hopefully, you do too. But once we understand that God is the creator, or we believe that God is creator, he's also the provider. Everything we have comes from the earth. Think about that. Everything we have comes from the earth. It comes out of the ground, comes from a plant, comes from something of the world. Then we take it and develop it. You say, well, man developed that, man thought of that, man discovered that. Man was created by God. God created the mind of the human. It all comes from God. And we have a choice in that, ultimately, is where it all starts. It's a choice. It's a choice to believe or not to believe in that. Webster's definition of faith is a firm belief. This is Webster's definition. A firm belief in something for which there is no proof, without question. Besides what the Bible states in Hebrews, we see that this is true, but you also see the words of trust and hope coincide with faith. The definition of trust from Webster is an assured reliance on character, ability, strength, or truth of sequence, or something which confidence is placed, which kind of leads us to hope. And hope is defined to desire with expectations or fulfillment, to expect with confidence. So it all kind of lies into what is true. Jesus states from John 4:16, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So that's really where it lies, what is true. And then we have our belief by faith. Truth is found in evidence of events that had passed. That's where we gain an understanding, correct? We see things, we experience things, then we understand and we get a knowledge, and then we gain trust in certain aspects. So, the truth is found in the evidence of events that have passed. And I will just say this, because it deals with some of the current things we are dealing with. History has to be studied. It has to be talked about. And it's there so we don't repeat the mistakes of the past. It should never be torn down. It should never be covered up. It should never be destroyed. And it should be taught, not out of context or with a slanted opinion, but by the words and the facts that were transpired in the event or the circumstance of what transpired. We need to discern over those and then decide of where we take it from that point. Now, we will all have different positions and places, but it doesn't change the truth of the event or what had transpired. So that leads us then to, is the Bible true? Well, I could talk for weeks and months about that discussion. I don't have the time to get into the depths of that. But I will hit you with five of Andy's points of why I believe the Bible is the true word of God. First and foremost is, what would be the harm in following what the Bible dictates to you? What is the harm that comes out of that? Love your neighbor and love God. What is the harm? That leads me to the conviction of the truth in the Bible. And what would be the scam that would be the thing that would be gained by generations and generations and generations of putting a story together or sharing their expressions of how they have encountered God? And what would be the scam or the harm to me in following what their stories are or what they're saying in that? What would be the overriding presence of that? I could never understand that. What would be the harm in following that? It's following God's word of peace, prosperity, and well-being for all. If we look at the historical content, it has been proven over and over again through other documents and archaeology finds, and they're finding more and more each and every day that is convicting to the truth of what had transpired in the Bible. Along with the Bible itself has more versions, and what I mean by versions, more documents found over generations stating the same words than any other literal documents that we have around that we hold truth to and believe in and convicted of. And the Bible's always underneath that controversy, and it has more evidence to back it up than any other document. Going on then, for the followers in the Bible, of how they are convicted to their heart of hearts to go to death over loving your neighbor and loving God. A conviction that is just proven by their faith, seeing their faith in a God, convicts me on the truth of the Word of God. And the real life statements and the real life stories that are in the Bible. If you were trying to do a story to convince somebody of something, we see it in our press daily, right? You hear the best of the best of the best of the version, right? Does the Bible say all the good things? You get the bad with the good, right? There's talk of rape, there's talk of murder, there's talk, and this is of people of the Bible. We will see later how Noah got drunk. We saw these different things. We see the bad with the good. That convicts me that there's truth in the Word. So with that, I would tell you, as far as some homework to do, is read John 14 and see what Jesus says about the truth. He's talking to Philip and Thomas at the time. And we also see, too, later in the book of John, in chapter 20, where after Christ was raised, we hear the words from Thomas, of where Thomas had his doubts. And he was only going to be convicted by physical evidence. But Jesus states to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. So let's take a look down through the rest of this first section of Hebrews as far as by faith, very quickly looking at some of these events. We see where by faith, Abel brought an offering based on his faith. There's maybe a lesson in there. There's a lot of sermons in Hebrews 11. We could do a year's worth probably in Hebrews. But we see here where Abel brought an offering to God based on his faith. That tells us a little bit more that you could dig into as far as your tithing and offering to the Lord. We see where Enoch was taken from his life so he did not have to experience death by faith. By faith, this is one of my favorite stories, Noah. At 500, I can't even imagine being 500. I can't imagine being in my 80s. No offense to anybody, but I'm saying to where I feel like when I'm at 50, 53, I can't imagine that some mornings when I get up. And then 500, wow, you know, 500. And then asked to build an ark of sizes that is unbelievable. If you ever want to see, I guess they built one in Kentucky, I believe. They have an actual Noah's Ark that you can go see that they did by the dimensions that are in the Bible, how it was described in the Bible. I want to see that, but tremendous thing. Doing that at that age, and then he was doing it for something that never happened before, as far as destruction of the world, but also rain. It had not rained. If you read the Bible, water came up from the ground prior to that point. There was never rain. So it was going to rain, and not rain for a day, 40 days and 40 nights. So, and this was a process that went over 80 years. And I can't imagine being diligent for something like that over 80 years, being at the age of 500 and then doing that. So Noah is a tremendous story as far as faith goes. But also on the backside of that, I just mentioned it earlier, after all that transpired, the new world started. He comes out, Noah falls, drunk, and had a sexual relation with his daughters. And we think, wow, how can we do that? But there's a lesson in that for us. There's lessons in that for us to understand our faith is not dependent upon us being perfect. That's why we have a Savior. It's that redeeming factor that's involved. It doesn't excuse the sin, but it provides the redemption, a way to the truth in life. We then see another great story of Abraham, and he was told to go initially. If you look at scripture, he wasn't told about the many descendants right away. He was told to go to a place for no reason, just go. How many of us would do that? I don't know if I would do that, but I looked back on it, thought about it. I actually did do that. When I came out of school, high school, I worked for a year. I was a mess. I was a mess at that time. I was a mess. And I decided I was going to go to technical school. I made a choice to go to Williamsport, Pennsylvania. It's now Penn Tech. At that time, it was a community college. And never been to Williamsport. Didn't know a soul up in Williamsport. Didn't have anyone going to Williamsport that I knew. But that's where I was going, to try to get my head on straight, I guess. I don't know. And I was even at the point where my prayer to God is, I don't need any girls. I'm done. That was the whole thing. Well, you know, in God's way, that we don't know, we don't understand, we don't see, it's where I met my wife, Sandy, in Williamsport. Changed my life forever. Best gift that I was given on this earth is my wife, Sandy. Straightened this mess out a little bit. And there's a story of a place where I went to go that I had no idea why I was going, but God had a plan. And I wasn't the most faithful at that time, I will say that too. So God does have his hands out for us and looking for us. It's just we got to be some point of interaction with him in all that. Back to Abraham. If we looked at verse 10, Hebrews 11, 10, it says, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Jesus also promises the same thing in that he's preparing a place for us, which is in John, the first four verses of John 14. So where are our eyes at? Are they on our circumstance? Are they on this life? Of this life and the places and the situations of what's going on. Our life is to be learned. It's to be experienced. It's to develop loving relationships through the toils of life. There will be challenges. And yes, there are tragic events. But as we talked about last week, our Christian faith arms us to endure. Remember, the goal is eternity with our Heavenly Father and with Jesus Christ at His right hand, to be in celebration and worship with awe, with all the past, present, and future generations. Our goal as Christians is a loving relationship with God and each other, and to have peace in this life also. And that our relationship is bonded to a holy God through sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus. Hence, we are taught that through our toils and our redeeming of our Creator. We're not called to be perfect. We are called to be made perfect by our Creator, who He Himself is perfect. It's by faith to follow our calling of our Creator without real reason in front of us, but in trust and hope that we are made perfect in Jesus Christ through that unconditional love, grace, and mercy He gives. Carrying on with Abraham, we see in later years where him and Sarah are old, and they had a son, Ishmael, out of some of their own impatience. But we also see where the nations of three great faiths had come out. We have the Hebrew Jewish faith, the Christian faith, and the Islamic faith all come out of Abraham. Ishmael was the Arabic side, and Isaac is the Hebrew side, which then led into the Christian faith. And that leads into the verse 12, where it says, as numerous as the stars are in the sky and the countless as the sands on the seashore. We cannot possibly understand God's plans, although we try. We try to figure it all out. But that goes back to the Garden of Eden, doesn't it? Just trying to get God's knowledge. We want to have that God's knowledge. We'll never have it. And once we come to that understanding, faith walks in. Faith walks in because we're trusting and hoping in Him and understanding His great plan. Abraham didn't understand the whole plan. He didn't know what was going to be going on. He had no idea it would be the dominant force of faith throughout the world today underneath his heritage. So that leads us to our application question. What is keeping you from full conviction in your heart of hearts? I have this kind of in the sermon title as far as we say faith, but then we have the yeah, but. Who has the yeah, buts? I have the yeah, buts. I get those. But the answer is by faith. So we'll look at this yeah, buts going into our second division, and that's faith in action. That's focusing on the verses from 13 to 31. I'm going to read 13 to 16 for you. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. Hear that? They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If I had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. These verses confirm the act of faith are driven by our eyes on eternal promises, not earthly achievements or goals, but of the heavenly realm. Yeah, but we think about our jobs, we think about our careers, we think about our homes, we think about awards. Should we strive for these things? I say yes. But the goal is not to have or possess. Having is not the issue. The issue is where we place our value upon them. At what cost Did we go to our jobs or careers or focus ourselves in there? What is the goal of the achievement? Is it for our glory or is it for God? Are we striving for selfish means or is it truly to benefit others? Now, I am not here to judge in the least way because truly those decisions are between you and God. I am not qualified to judge. That is truly God's decision. I am nowhere near capable of that area. And that's why you need to go to God in prayer and truly let Him open your heart and mind and soul to these things. Faith leads us in all our choices and decisions. We either have faith in God or we have faith in something or someone else. By faith, Abraham was then tested with Isaac. We're familiar with that story, but understand, tests are not for God. They're for us. They're for us to understand, to learn, to develop faith in God. And if we understand when Abraham was taking Isaac to be sacrificed, his son, the son that was promised, the son that God promised him, he was supposed to sacrifice. Did that make any sense? Not at all. Who could do that? I don't know if I could do that. But Abraham in faith was taking him to that point. But at the right time, at the right place, God provided the way out. And it was a ram or a lamb, of how you interpret it, which is such a representation of Christ. The lamb given as a sacrifice for us, the way, the truth, the life. It's amazing to see those stories. Those stories are over and over again in the Old Testament, and this is such a great story because the site upon which Isaac was to be sacrificed winds up being the Temple Mount in further history. People don't know that necessarily, but it was the point of where the Temple Mount was. It was a foretaste of everything coming. It's a plan over generation after generation after generation. We don't have the way of fully understanding what God is doing. We just are asked to act in faith. And that's what Abraham was doing. We see where by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. We see where by faith Jacob blessed Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on top of his staff, holding himself up. We see by faith Joseph was focused on the burial of his bones, a future understanding that they would be going to the promised land hundreds of years later. And Joseph had a story in himself of faith, tremendous story of faith. Read that in Genesis, of where he had the dreams that were given to him, that hope was put in front of him, but then he was put into captivity and slavery by his brothers. Left for dead, he was wrongly then accused, thrown into jail, wind up being lifted up to second highest in Egypt under Pharaoh, wound up being in a position where he saved his family from famine, which, if you think that out further, saved the Hebrew nation, which turned into millions, which then left in Exodus underneath Moses, all part of the plan of where they were saved through that famine, through Joseph being placed in Egypt. Then there's the redemption of family and his brothers and the love he gave back that Joseph showed, the forgiveness to his brothers. It's an unending story of faith with Joseph. Tremendous story. Tremendous story. Read it in Genesis. By faith, Moses' parents hid them. We don't hear much about Moses' parents in the Bible, but they went against government rulings. I don't know if I should go down that road. That'd get me into dangerous waters right now. I think I better stay away from that. But overall, we are to be led by God in all things. And Jesus did say, give unto Caesar what is Caesar, but give unto God what is God. There is a priority. going back to Moses. Understand now, the Hebrew people have been in slavery 400 years from Joseph. Wow, how do you stay in faith to a God over 400 years of slavery? We have a big slavery controversial talk in our country today. Think about that, 400 years into slavery. Yet, the Hebrew nation kept faith in God. Moses wound up fleeing his pleasures of sin, being brought up in the Egyptian lifestyle. He left that in order to follow the call. Verse 26 in Hebrew says, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. I thought, wait a minute, Moses is Old Testament. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ. Moses knew Jesus. There's another story there. I could go into a sermon series there. Just to put something out there to give you a little bit of a bite to chew on. Moses knew Jesus. How do you know that? Because he knew the Father. Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father, and the Father is in me. It's the same. It's the same love. People talk about the Old Testament Father being this overbearing person, being. It was a loving God. It's the same loving God then. It's the same loving God today. And it's by faith. It's by faith. We see the faith in the Passover, what went over, the parting of the Red Sea. Read Exodus. Read through Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's kind of a little tough, those last few books. But there's nuggets inside of all those things that teach us, to make us understand, what was Moses doing leading his people in the wilderness for 40 years? And then not being able to enter the promised land. All those years of faith and held back. But he had that communion with the Lord on Mount Sinai. A communion that his face actually glowed, that he had to wear a veil over his face. It's a tremendous story of faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho came down. How many here would walk around a city for, what was it, 7 days? Blowing a trumpet, making horns, making noise. It's going to happen. It's going to happen, right? I asked my youth group one time years ago, if you were told to walk around Muhlenberg High School for a week, chanting and yelling and screaming or whatever, if God called you to do that, would you do it? A lot of them said no. I don't know if I would, you know. But they were called, and the walls of Jericho came down. Then we see the prostitute. A prostitute goes back to what I said earlier. If you were trying to hold something up, why would you proclaim a prostitute? But it was by faith that she gave help to the spies. Later, those spies would go on to say, there's giants, we can't go into the promised land. But they wound up going in because they had two that believed, two that had faith. And Rahab helped them escape. So, where does your faith lie? In God or things of this world? You have to decide. I challenge you with that today. Before you leave your seats, dwell upon that. I will gladly sit and talk with anyone, I know anyone in our leadership would do the same, and especially Pastor Brett at any point in time. I challenge our online audience to respond too. Our application on this division, our second division, are you waiting for God to act or do you hesitate? Yeah, but godly discernment is the key. Surround yourself in prayer. Surround yourself in Bible study. And also, fellow believers. My third division would be very quickly, because it's just basically looking at our final verses in Hebrews. I'll warn you before reading this is it doesn't really give a pretty picture about being a faithful believer in Christ. But let's dive into these words. Verses 32 to 40. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in the battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raising to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain even a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning, and they were sawed in two. They were persecuted and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts, mountains, living in caves and holes and grounds. These were all the commands for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Let me say that again. Yet none of them received what had been promised, since God has planned something better for us, that only together with us would they be made perfect. Life is hard. Life is challenging. There are tragic things that are going to happen. There are tragic things that have happened in your life. You can dwell in the past. You can just live for right now. Or you can think about the future and have faith of what God has promised with our eternal life. We can have peace here on earth. It's a matter of bringing God into our heart of hearts. And you can find peace in this chaotic situation, this chaotic life. COVID-19, I can say, is not going to go away. Nothing else in this world that we deal with is necessarily going away, okay? There'll be a time where it'll subside. There'll be an end to a certain point. We talk about peace forever. Man has been fighting man since the beginning of time. Ishmael and Isaac brothers, but their nations have been fighting each other since the beginning of time. It will be an act of God that changes that. Hence why we got to have our faith in God in all of that. We see where people were literally sawn in two for their faith, stoned. I can't even imagine half of those things that I just read being done. And by God's grace, we will never face those things. But that's where we place our hope, our faith. I think of people over the generations, the Hebrew slaves in Egypt and what they endured, what the people endured in captivity in Babylon. What did the Hebrews endure during the Holocaust in recent times? There's people being persecuted and genocide today, right now, in this world. We are seeing things that we never thought we'd see in our nation right now. Our eyes need to be on God. And see the final verses where it says that since God has planned something better for us, so that only together, that's us together with each other and with our Lord, with us, that we will be made perfect. We can't make ourselves perfect. God does that. He does it through the redeeming grace of Jesus Christ. Our application in this final division. Life is hard and full of tragic events, as I have said, but God has given us a way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Can you give yourself today, right now, fully to Him? That is truly my prayer, is that we all find that to the deepest calling that He is calling us to. My closing thoughts and something that we need to take in and then to the world. I ask God to open our hearts, your heart, mind, and soul, to reveal who he truly is. Then by the Holy Spirit to place that assurance of his unconditional love within you and to show you without a doubt that his purpose and plan, and what his purpose and plan is for you in this life. Ask for God to reveal your unknown failings and what has divided you from him. Be humble and truly confess. Then without relenting to Satan's plan, and by praying continually and studying God's holy word, by keeping your eyes on the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ, for when we see him, we see the Father, and by our faith, we will enable us to endure all things. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope that encouraged you in your walk with Christ. You can find out more about Faith Church at wearefaithec.com.